Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Way back on March 13th, the Crocker Art Museum was still open, and I remember suggesting it that day, that Friday, as a place to go because the wide open space in the museum and the no-touch experience seemed safe. But the Crocker and most museums since have had to adapt and close, and the director and CEO of the Crocker Art Museum in Sacramento, Lyle Jones, is joining us today by phone. Hi, Lyle.
Hi, Beth. Good to talk to you.
So that day, March 13th, it seems like an eternity ago, but will you tell me about that early decision-making process?
Certainly. Well, first of all, it was a Friday, so Friday the 13th. Not that that was part of the decision, but it was a bit of a harbinger of what was to come.
Right.
We started to see that our colleagues in across the country were starting to close. We realized that we would have to. We were going to close at the end of the day, but we thought actually, since the governor hadn't come forward with any closure orders yet, we would see if we could get through the weekend. We did close then at the close of business on Sunday. So we were closed as of the 15th. There are a lot of things that go into your mind when you make that decision. First of all, there's tremendous uncertainty for everyone. You know, what does this mean? How long is this going to be? How do you keep staff productive if the museum's closed to the public? Can the staff still come in and work? And we soon realized that the staff could not continue to come into the building and work. So we had to put into place ways that we could work remotely. And when you are a facility that is about bringing people in and connecting them with one another and with what you do and with the art on your walls, working remotely has its challenges, not the least of which we're mostly a bunch of art historians. We're not necessarily the most tech literate people in the world. So, you know, we had four laptops, I think, that we could let out to staff. We found that some of our staff didn't even have internet coming into their homes. So it was an interesting experience of trying to sort all of that out. But we were pretty nimble for a big organization, and we did, and the staff is being very productive. We knew on a dime we had to switch from being what some would call an analog experience to a digital one. And we wanted to continue to do what the Crocker does best, and that is bring people together, connect them with art, ideas, each other, and the world around them. We just had to have different delivery methods.
So what became the priority in all of this, assuming that staff wasn't coming to work, so you were taking care of the initial health and safety concerns?
Right.
Then what?
Of course, health and safety is always number one. You know, if you think about a museum, there are several things that are really important. Your staff, extremely important. Your collection is also extremely important. So we needed to make sure that we had a system in place that we could do what basically I call fire watch, and we are used to doing this. You've got a certain number of people that have to be in the building to constantly make sure that there aren't roof leaks and anything else. So those people are safely ensconced at the museum. Everybody else has to work differently. So our first priority was to create content, and we have created quite a bit. We had some already, but we've put lectures online. We're having a virtual art camp right now where parents signed up for their kids. They came by, and we did a sidewalk drop of art supplies that people could come pick up. And we're teaching children via Zoom art classes. Our instructors are working with each kid, so there's interaction between all of the children, and that's really important to us. We also very much thought about our membership, and our membership, you know, we've got 13,000 members, so we're well supported, but many of them we knew would be living by themselves, kind of isolated in their homes. So we began a campaign of calling all of our members. That's a rather daunting task. 13,000 names and numbers is a long list. But it's been really wonderful. I think people have appreciated that we've reached out. We helped one woman, for instance, figure out how to purchase her groceries online because she didn't know how. Mm. So it's just different ways the museum can help.
Lyle, you must be experiencing the financial impact. If you can give me the gauge of that. And does the Crocker qualify for federal or other financial relief?
We do qualify for some, fortunately. Right away, Congress did talk about the fact that arts and culture were extremely important in the recovery, and they made provisions for museums in the CARES Act. We have predicted that by the end of this fiscal year, we will lose about $2 million of revenue. That's major. Our budget is a little over $10 million a year, so you can tell that's a very significant hit. We're actually more worried about next year, you know, as we're looking at the fact that the unemployment rolls right now have 22 million people on them. How do we come out of this? How do we predict a future where, you know, art museums generally have three different models for revenue? It's public support, which is the Crocker's main model. Over half of our operating budget comes because people give generously. Then it's earned income and endowment draws. And we've been building our endowment, and we are a programming machine normally, so our earned income is pretty robust. So we actually have taken a model that incorporates all three, but public support is number one. And if that doesn't come back, this institution, like many across the country, is going to be very, very different. You know, you said in the beginning, the Crocker's big, and it is. We're in one of the largest art museums in North America. We're in the top quarter. We have 150,000 square feet. I'm an art historian by academic training. But, you know, math is your friend. And at 6 foot social distancing, each person will need about 116 square feet. So that means that we can accommodate about 1,300 people in the museum when we can't reopen, 1,300 people at a time. So size has its advantages, but the experience will be very different. Hmm.
Does the size and space mean that you might be able to reopen sooner than some other places might?
I think that, you know, first of all, we'll pay attention to what the governor says and other health leaders across the country, and we won't open before we think it is safe to do so. That's for the safety of our staff, but also our visitors. It does allow us to think about opening prior to some of our colleagues, but there are still concerns. You know, for instance, an elevator is a finite space. Our right. elevators are large, but you can only put one person in an elevator at a time, and then you need to think about, do you sanitize it each time somebody uses it? What does that do for reallocation of staff, et cetera? Time tickets, those kinds of things are very easy for us. And unlike some of our performing arts colleagues, it's not that everybody is all together in a space. So we do have some definite advantages.
I'm talking with the director and CEO of the Crocker Art Museum, Lyle Jones, and Lyle's also the incoming president of the Association of Art Museum Directors. So, Lyle, I know you're hearing from people and involved in the conversation across the country. You also can dip back into history, because with the many, many decades of the Crocker's existence, the history spans wars and that Spanish flu of 1918, the Depression, 9/11. So are those places and templates that you can draw from in this time?
You know, what I draw from it is not a roadmap of how we navigate through this crisis, but what I draw from it is knowledge that the museum's been here for 130 years. We've weathered other storms. We'll weather this one. We'll change. There's no doubt about it. I think life for all of us will change after this, but we will continue to be a strong institution.
What specifically about exhibitions now? What happens with run times?
Right. So we book exhibitions 3 to 5 years in advance. So, you know, we've got a calendar that is like gears of a clock. One is interdependent on the other. Exhibitions are a huge challenge because you try to move one piece and you have to end up moving 24 others. What we're finding right now is European exhibitions are likely not going to happen. We've had to cancel an exhibition on our schedule, a show from Fragonard to David, and we're very sorry to have to do that, but there's no way. Art couriers aren't traveling. Airlines don't want to move paintings from one country to another. So there's some physical limitations that we have nothing to do with. Then there's the calendars of every other institution that's involved or every lender that's involved in the show.
Right.
So while we're trying to make adjustments, we're finding it's extremely difficult.
Let me ask you about one in particular, the legendary artist Wayne Thiebaud from Sacramento. And of course, he's turning 100 and a big fall exhibition and party were all planned. But we're all starting to look ahead to the fall. And what do those plans look like now?
So we're not sure what's going to happen with the opening of that exhibition. We are planning to open it on October 10th, the 10th anniversary of the opening of the museum's expansion, the Thiel Family Pavilion. The exhibition is going to go forward. We've talked with Wayne and the lenders to the exhibition, and that's not going to be a problem. We're planning on opening that show as scheduled. It's just the celebrations of Wayne's 100th birthday that I think will be changed.
Hmm. Well, I do want to know personally how you are during this time, Lyle, and you have so many friends on the East Coast, and I know you've got people you're connected to in New York State and New York City. Would you mind sharing a little of that part of your life right now?
Not at all. You know, you mentioned that I'm the incoming president of the Association of Art Museum Directors. We are having Zoom calls every single day. In fact, I have another one today at 11. So I'm hearing perspectives from around North America because our membership is Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Everybody is looking at this a little bit differently. The vice president of the organization, FME, is Glenn Lowry, who's the director of the Museum of Modern Art in New York. And I love hearing Glenn talk and his perspectives on this because he's basically in New York and the city is absolutely devastated. The amount of hospitalizations, of death, how every single thing has changed in that city, it's heartbreaking. I know New York well. I've spent a lot of time in the city just thinking about a place that I love and how it's impacted. I think that I live in California. Our experience in Sacramento is very different. We live differently. We're not as quite as tightly compacted for the most part. So I think that one of the things that I'm finding is great empathy from my colleagues across the nation and around the world, frankly, and also really getting great comfort in the fact that we're all thinking about how museums will continue to be strong institutions, how we'll continue to serve the public, how we'll continue to bring the power of art to people, especially in a time like this when everyone needs to find connection, and art can provide that connection. It can provide strength. It can transport you from your day-to-day circumstances to a different time, a different place, a different circumstance. And that's something that is really important and can be so helpful to so many. So we're all working to make sure we come out of this stronger than when we went in.
Hmm. Thinking about this conversation with you, Lyle, made me think about what kind of art will come out of this time. What are people in their homes, in their studios creating right now? And how will we document what this experience is? And those collections for the future, I think they'll be amazing, Lyle.
I do, too. And, you know, the one thing we do know is artists can't stop creating. They provide a picture of the time and place where they're living in. And this is an extraordinary event, and it is being documented and thought about and conceived in a myriad of ways right now by artists around the world.
Lyle, thanks so much for this conversation. And to you and the staff, please take care. We look forward to those doors to that beautiful space being open again.
Thank you, Beth. I very much appreciate it. And we look forward to hosting you soon.
That is Lyle Jones, director and CEO of the Crocker Art Museum in Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. Up next, a place that has remained open, importantly so for the community, the MIND Institute at UC Davis. I'll talk with the director in a moment.